Good morning. I'm glad to be here this morning, and thank you too for being here so that we can still gather together as a church body and to support myself and Pastor and Marcos and Brian.
And
that's right. Were you guys feeling that keyboard today or what? Yes. So that was just blessings all around, and you know, this has really been an opportunity for growth, within this church. And I am not a Bible scholar, but all the more reason that you know this is of the Lord, because He's taught me through this process that it can't be me. It has to be His message that I'm just bringing forth to the body, and we'll get to the message. Lord, we come to you just one more time in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for this time of praise and worship, for your presence in this building. All those that have gathered here together to hear your words, give me words to speak, Lord, that I bring forth your message and that it be a blessing to the hearers and a strengthening to this body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, about that message, it was a busy week. I think that you guys would agree with that. And, you know, the text string that was going around, there's a lot going on. And so I found, you know, I came home from work on Friday, and we had a lovely dinner, and we're winding down for the evening, and I'm getting ready for bed in the bathroom, and I started weeping. And I think it's because it was the first time all week that I had stopped and took a breath and let all of the events of the week register, and that this body is under attack. And, you know, I find that when I get dressed in the morning and go about the day, that you pull up your bootstraps and you put on your armor and you plow through the day. I mean, you're making hay and you don't look left or look right. So it's not until that moment where it's stripped down a little bit in that time of rest that it really hit me. And I just felt the weight. I felt the weight of the week. I felt the weight of the attack that this church body was under and what the individuals were sharing with all of our texts that were going around. And I thought, you know, what did Jesus do that when he was literally preparing to carry the weight of the world, past, present, and future sin, he went to the garden and fell on his knees and prayed before the Father? And that's what we're to do. And the Bible says that he prayed fervently, which is with an intense passion. And so I prayed. And I would call that, at that point, I was in what I like to call an ugly cry. This wasn't like the Hallmark Channel where you have a single tear and your makeup isn't messed up and your hairdo is still looking good. This is like some heaving sobs where you definitely need like a tissue. And poor Steve was in bed already. He didn't even know what was going on. So I had this ugly cry, but it was such a beautiful thing because it turned into a cry out to the Lord. And it turned into a time of prayer, because I couldn't go to bed at that point. So I just cracked open my own heart to address what was in there, and then also brought before the church body, one at a time, made the petitions of our hearts known before the Lord. And that's where I'd like to start, actually, is in John 16, verse 22, and this is Jesus speaking. And he says, "You have sorrow now, It's 16, 22 through 24. You have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Then you will rejoice, and no one can rob you of that joy. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. The truth is, you can go directly to the Father and ask him, and he will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. And then verse 33. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Amen. And he was, you know, this is what he said thousands of years ago, is he told me that I was going to have access to that. I had access to that so that I could cry out and make my petitions known for myself and for the body of Christ. And in chapter 17, starting in verses 9 through 20, this is Jesus praying. And there. By the way, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all have their own account of Jesus going into the garden to pray, okay? Jesus says, my prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, speaking to the Father, because they belong to you. That sentence alone, we are his. And all of them, since they are mine, belong to you, and you have given them back to me, so they are my glory. Now I am departing the world, I am leaving them behind and coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them and care for them, all those you have given me, so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I have kept them safe. I guarded them so that not one was lost, except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold. And now I'm coming to you. I have told them many things while I was with them, so they would be filled with my joy. Hang on to that. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They are not part of this world any more than I am. Make them pure and holy by teaching them your words of truth, as you sent me, or by teaching them your words of truth. As you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world, and I gave myself entirely to you, so they also might be entirely yours. I am praying not only for these disciples, but for all who will ever believe in me because of their testimony. Amen. Amen. That word is for all of us. And that the piece about the joy, the type of joy that we're talking about, is one of my favorite scriptures, which is Hebrews 12, 1, that says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's given us access to that joy so that as we face trials in our own life, that's what's fueling us. That's what's fueling us to endure to the finish line. Next, I'm going to be in Romans. I have been lingering there this week, just in the mornings. But I'm going to start in Romans 8. And it's verse 15 through 39. Again, receiving instructions now. What are we supposed to do? You should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into his family. calling him Father, dear Father, for his Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we will share his treasures, for everything God gives to his Son, Christ, is ours too. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will give us later. And this is what I also loved. I was encouraged on the platform because both of these gentlemen read Psalms of all creation crying out. Brian sharing, all creation is going to cry out. Even if we are shut up, the rocks will cry out. All creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, everything on earth was subjected to God's curse. All creation anticipates the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up until the present time. And even we Christians, although we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, also groan to be released from pain and suffering. We too wait anxiously for that day when God will give us our full rights as his children, including the new bodies he promised us. Now that we are saved, we eagerly look forward to this freedom. For if you already have something, you don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't have yet, we must wait patiently and confidently. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our distress, for we don't even know what we should pray for or how we should pray, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knows his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his Son so that his Son would be the firstborn. And how awesome, we just learned about that with Pastor through the Easter study. We have an understanding now what the firstborn is, the first fruits that Jesus had to first be presented to his Father so that we, the church body, could then begin the church age and the Holy Spirit could begin the work in our lives then. With many brothers and sisters, and having chosen them, he called them to come to him, and he gave them right standing with himself, and he promised them his glory. What can we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since God did not spare even his own Son, but gave him up for us all, won't God, who gave us Christ, also give us everything else? Who dares accuse whom God has chosen for his own? Will God? No. He is the one who has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? Will Christ Jesus? No. For he's the one who died for us and was raised to life for us and sitting at the place of highest honor next to God, pleading for us. And here's verse 35. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted, or hungry, or cold, or in danger, or threatened with death? Even the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We're being slaughtered like sheep. No. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. It's already been accomplished. The victory is ours. And how phenomenal is it that in this church body, that we edify one another, and how the Lord is using his word and our exchanges to just continually confirm all these things we know, because we need to be reminded of it. The Bible says that too, that we remind ourselves. Next, I'm going to go to Romans 5, 1 through 5. And it says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of highest privilege where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us learn to endure. And endurance develops strength of character in us, and character strengthens our confident expectation of salvation. And this expectation will not disappoint us, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. And, you know, in that piece, in thinking about the trials, not only the trials of the week, but trials that we know we've had in our own lives, at least in my own life, I find when I'm looking back on it, you don't always see it or understand it when you're going through it, but then when you turn around and look at it, then you can see how the pieces were fitting together and how the Lord was using that for good and for his glory and to stretch and grow us. And, you know, as I mentioned, I'm not a preacher or a Bible scholar, you know, but when I first started with this church family, I didn't know how to look up a Bible verse. I didn't know where the books were. I didn't know what a chapter was or a verse or what these numbers meant at the top of the page. And yet the Lord has equipped me over time through those trials and through the body that was always building me up and encouraging me that I can now be in tune with the Holy Spirit to put a message together for his body and for his glory. Like, praise God for that. And for this church body, also I can come confidently here because I know that I'm standing amongst the body of Christ where I'm not going to face the only judgment I'm concerned about is from the Lord because I'm standing in his pulpit. But, you know, that I know that I can come and share with my church family from the Word of God. So thank you guys for that and for that support and, again, for coming out here and how Brian and Marcos and everybody stepped up to the plate here in just what you had to prepare with the Psalms and, you know, with what you're going to share and bringing forth the music and everything. Like, it's that gives us confidence that we know we can do this. And both Senior Pastor Jeff and Pastor Jeff always taught that we're not following a man or a pastor. That's not what this church is about. And that's what these weeks and these trials are about, that we don't fall apart because of the trials that are in our lives, because we are seeking Christ and his kingdom first, and then all these things will be added unto us. Amen. That's right. And again, that's proof of the, I don't think I'm serving up a 40-ounce, you know, bone-in filet here today, but in referencing my teaching last week, but again, since it's about the Word and it's about Christ, that is what our foundation is on. Right. Amen? Amen? Okay. Where am I? 1 Peter. And another side note, when I was young, in my study of the Word, and I didn't know that there is a difference between John and then 1 and 2 John, Senior Pastor Jeff gave me a scripture to read from, you know, John something something, but it was 1 John. And so I went to the Gospel John and stood up and started reading loud and proud, you know, in our church in Westmont. And he just burst out laughing from the pulpit. And I had no idea what he was talking about. And he had to correct me and say, honey, it's the book of 1 John with his little southern twang. And then I had to page forward. So thank you, Lord, for growth. Okay. So 1 Peter chapter 4. 12 through 13 and 19. Dear friends, don't be surprised as the fiery trials you are going through, as if it is something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, because these trials will make you partners with Christ in his suffering. And afterwards, you will have the wonderful joy of sharing his glory when it is displayed to all the world. So if you are suffering according to God's will, keep on doing what is right and trust yourself to the God who made you, for he will never fail you. Amen. And then I'm just going to skip right over to chapter 5. And you guys will know, these will sound familiar, but chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, and then 12b. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God. Surrender. I wonder why we sang that song. And in his good time, he will honor you. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about what happens to you. Be careful. Watch out for attacks from the devil, your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for some victim to devour. Take a firm stand against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. In his kindness, God called you to his eternal glory by means of Jesus Christ. After you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. All power is his forever and ever. Amen. My purpose in writing this is to encourage you and assure you that the grace of God is with you no matter what happens. Amen. Yes, thank you, Jesus. And the last scripture I'm going to take you guys through is Matthew 11:28. And in Jesus' own words, reinforcing what Peter just shared with us, is Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light." Praise the Lord. And that's the promise, and that's what I've been standing on all week. Is I didn't know that that's what I was standing on, but the word that just kept coming to me over and over again was minister, that I didn't always know what I was praying for, but I knew that if I set myself aside and surrendered to what the Spirit was speaking, that he would minister to us. And that's the promises that are in this word, that when we turn here, it's going to minister to whatever it is our heart is in need of. It's going to fill all those gaps. It's going to light the way for the next step. It's a light into our feet and a lamp into our path so that we know the next step in any situation, whether it's on the mountaintops or in the valleys. So I was excited to share that with you today. Heavy on the scripture, but that's okay. That's what it's all about. You guys don't want to hear from me. Again, thank you so much for your support and for being here. We do have some items downstairs, I believe, that are freshly baked. But first, I want to close in prayer. Then we can get into some time together. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus once more. We thank you for your faithfulness, your goodness, the power of your word. Sharper than any two-edged sword, it knows every corner and crevice of our heart, what we have need of, Lord. That you would speak into our hearts, fortify us, strengthen us, Lord, for the week ahead, that we can be a blessing to others and wait with confidence for your glorious return. And all this we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.